What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 125 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is the first episode back from GuardianCon 2019. We are very excited for you guys. We got a giveaway we're going to talk about. We got some really, really super cool prizes that we got for y'all at GuardianCon. A whole bunch of signed stuff, some art, some playing cards. But first, let's get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercury, joined tonight by Kit Ketcher. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Merc, doing fantastic, man. It was an amazing weekend. Had a great time. We both left on the eve of some fun quests dropping, and then came back and some more fun quests dropped. So it's an exciting time to have a buttload of Destiny to play, and I guess now we get to talk about it.
Yeah, the only problem with having a ton of Destiny to play is that I have not gotten to play a ton of Destiny, because obviously we were out of town the entire second half of last week and all the weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for GuardianCon, and then in addition to that, I came back Sunday evening and left 8 o'clock Sunday morning for New York, where I spent 3 days. So I got back late last night, stayed up till 3 in the morning finishing the Bad Juju quest, which was fantastic, by the way. And then I've pretty much gotten to play no Destiny since then. So the original plan was to talk about Rose and Lumina and Bad Juju, and also maybe Aaron Toll, because I finally went ahead and did a massive breakdown on that. But unfortunately, I was unable to get Lumina. I am about midway through that quest. That's what I'm going to be focusing on tomorrow and this weekend. So instead, what we're going to talk about is the giveaway that we have planned. We're going to tell you how you can enter it and what the prizes are. And then we're going to talk about Bad Juju, which I have gotten, and I have gotten to play with a decent amount in PvP. And then we're going to talk about Aaron Toll, which if you've been a fan of this podcast for long, you've definitely heard me talk about before, but this is the first official massive breakdown of Aaron Toll. And we'll talk about why it has taken so long to get to it a little bit later. But first, what's up with this giveaway that we're doing, Kutch?
Right. So we have some pretty fantastic prizes, if I do say so myself. So obviously, Guardian Con, as everyone knows, is a great time, a great chance to hang out with other Guardians, other people who love Destiny, and also an opportunity to, you know, meet and mingle with some of the Bungie crew and ask questions. A lot of fun stuff going on. But all of that aside, it is also a massive charity fundraiser. Major props, Guardian Con raising over $4 million for St. Jude this year so far. What we're doing right now with this giveaway is we are attempting to provide our own small kind of part of that much greater whole. So we have collected for you guys some great prizes. So we've got, first off, I'll kind of work my way up. So we had kind of a printing mix-up, and we ended up actually with some bonus prizes that we hadn't even planned on. So we've got kind of in our third place prize range, we've got two beautiful white sketch on black background canvas prints, one of a Titan and one of a Hunter.
It's a Warlock, not a Hunter.
I'm sorry, a Warlock.
If we would have had a spare Hunter, it would have been mine. I'm just saying that right now. The Hunter would have been up on my wall if we had had one of those.
So we did not get a spare Hunter for some reason. Anyway, it was a whole thing. But the point being, we have two canvases, a Titan and a Warlock. The art by Alicia Rose, who does all of the art for all of our merchandise for the podcast. Fantastically talented. Give her a follow. So those are going to be going to our third prize winners. Those are one of the first things we'll draw. Now, we've also got second prize, or, you know, I guess we'll call it second prize winners. We have two full decks of Massive Breakdown logo playing cards. Now, the playing cards themselves, not that fantastic. They're just cards with our logo on them. But every single one of those cards is signed by either a Guardian, who you may know from YouTube, from Twitch, from Reddit, from all kinds of stuff. These are community fixtures from websites. We've got Ishtar Collective in there. We've got who are some of the other big names we can throw out in there?
Oh, we've got a bunch of artists. We've got Firion, we've got Ian Pesty, yes. We've got Cobb One, we've got Young Khan, we've got Destiny Item Manager, we have Ishtar Collective, we have a bunch of people who worked on Destiny. We've got Deej, Cosmin, yes. DMG, Jared Burbach, Lars Bakken.
The Bungie Away team all were able to give us a hand there and throw their John Hancocks on those for you.
Yeah, on the cards, we've got people like Luminosity, Triple Rec, Datto, Imtash. Like, it's a whole big thing.
Yeah.
We've got Kara Lee from Where Is Xur. We've got all across the community. I think we've got Man at Arms, Jez. Literally, if they've done something in the community and we were able to find them on the first couple of days of Guardian Con, then we got their signature.
Yeah.
So just a whole ton of really, really super cool people. Way too many people to list. So we're probably just going to list, you know, the majority of them and then say, and many more
yeah.
at the end. But what we did 2 years ago was we only had one deck of cards. And this year we have two full decks of cards.
That's
we got
right.
everybody to sign two cards. So there's actually going to be two people who are going to win that. And that was 2 years ago. That was the grand prize.
It was.
And this year it's only the second place prize. So
that's right. That's right. Because we've gone and done something even better. Now I mentioned those canvases and that there was a printing mix up. Well, so there was a mix up because we actually had planned to have three canvases, one of each class. For our grand prize winners, we're going to have three grand prize winners. And you're going to have your choice when you contribute to St. Jude via our Tiltify campaign, which we'll talk about in a minute here. You can pick which grand prize you want to enter for. So you're going to either donate to the Titan, to the Warlock, to the Hunter, and that'll be the prize that you're eligible to win. So you're not going to be a Hunter player who's going to end up with a Warlock canvas. If you choose to contribute to Hunter, that's what you're going to be eligible for. So, and each of these canvases, A, is gorgeous. You're going to want to take a look at the pictures that we're going to be publishing, that we're going to have up on Tiltify, on Twitter, all over the place. We've also got those up on Teespring, on our store there, so you can see the unsigned versions of them, because the grand prize canvases are all signed by the entire Bungie Away team, as well as, and I feel like we should add a drum roll in here, as well as Iris Morn herself, Morla Garanda. So, yeah, these are friggin' cool, and I am super jealous of whoever wins them, especially the Hunter one.
Yeah, the Hunter one is in particular very beautiful, but yeah, the whole Bungie Away team, not to mention some additional people, so... Obviously, like you said, we got Morla on it. We were really, really proud of that.
Yeah.
We got all three community managers. We got a lot of the developers. We got both of the people who did the Whisper and Zero Hour quest, Rob and Vince.
Yep.
We were able to get them to sign it after the ride-along. We've got Adam Pino, who a lot of you guys know as Pintorius on Twitter. Jared Burbach, who is one of the executive producers. Lars Bakken, Blake Battle, just an absolute ton of people. Nine Hydras. Brandon, who was the artist for Zero Hour. I mean, we just got a whole ton of people.
Yeah.
And we're really excited, and the canvases look fantastic.
They do.
It's the white sketch on black background, and we got all of them to sign it in either silver or white. So it looks really, really good. It really goes with it. So, yeah, what'll happen is when you guys enter, you'll be able to say, I either want a Warlock, a Hunter, a Titan, or any. If you only want one of the classes, you will only be entered in the drawing for that particular one. If you say any, you will be entered in the drawing for any of them. So if you just don't care which one you want, definitely put down any. If you only want one and you don't really want a Warlock, you don't really want a Titan, you only want the Hunter like myself, then put yourself down for the Hunter. And
don't we all?
Yeah, you'll decrease your chances of winning overall, but it will make sure that we're not wasting a Warlock on someone who thinks Warlocks are a bunch of space nerds. So... that being said, yeah, we've got some additional prizes to give away. Basically, the way it works is for every dollar you donate, you get a single entry into the raffle.
Yep.
If you donate $5, you get one additional entry for free. If you donate $10, you'll get two additional entries for free, and we'll also call your name out and personally thank you on the following episode of the Massive Breakdown podcast after you donated. If you donate $20, you will get four free entries along with... two Massive Breakdown stickers that we're going to mail out to you. If you donate $50, you will get, geez, I'm losing track of the math now here. I think it's 10 free entries along with the previous rewards, and you will also get a mug of your choice from the Loot Cave. We've got some pretty cool mugs up there, so you could choose that. And then if you donate $100, you will get 20 free entries, and also... you will get to pick a t-shirt of your choice from the Massive Breakdown Loot Cave. So yeah, there's some really cool incentives for you to donate money. Even if you don't win, there are still some cool things that you can get.
That's right.
But definitely 2 years ago when we did this, you only had one chance to win. And this year you've got five chances to win. So I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, actually, I think, I mean, if we count the other, the third place, we have seven.
Oh yeah,
Seven.
seven, technically.
Yeah,
Seven
we're going
chances to
full
win.
Bungie here.
Yeah.
So seven chances to win for the grand prizes, plus guaranteed prizes for everybody who contributes. This is for the kids, people. So we appreciate your time, your generosity, and we might do some fun streams here and there as we have time, if we can. So keep an eye out on Twitter for that. And we'll drop links to the Tiltify page if we're able to put that together.
Oh, and you know what I actually forgot? If you retweet the announcement tweet on Twitter, you actually get one free entry.
Yep.
If you want more
Good
entries, you have
call.
to donate. But if all you do is retweet the tweet to help us get the word out there, you get one free entry. So that's a good way to do it too.
Yep.
If even if you can't afford to donate anything at all, you can still help us out by just spreading the word.
That's right. Yep. Building awareness is just as important as a dollar here. That's going to help us out, get the word out to more people who are able to contribute. And again, like I said before, we're doing it for the kids here. So 2 years ago, we did some fun streams. I at least I know I did some streams. I can't remember now. I feel like you might have done one, but
I did
yeah,
a stream where I took shots of something
that's right.
for what people donated, if I remember correctly.
I think that might be why my memory's a bit fuzzy. So
Yeah.
I did a stream. I ate some super super friggin' spicy stuff that made me feel like I wanted to throw up. And I think at one point Mr. Woodhouse was trying to goad other people to donate just to see if he could make me throw up. So it did not happen.
Hopefully we'll get you this year,
Yes.
maybe,
Well,
if we're
yeah,
lucky.
we'll see. We'll see how much my stomach lining can handle. But anyway, yes, we've got some fun things planned, guys. So keep an eye out for all that. That, I think, is enough about that for the moment.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and get all the rest of this housekeeping out of the way. We got an iTunes review that was left for us. Just the one. We haven't read an iTunes review in a couple weeks because we did an In Real Life podcast last week. But this review was actually left several weeks ago, so I feel very bad that it has taken us this long to read them out. So I want to go ahead and get them out of the
Yeah,
way.
let's do it.
It's from Eboard, and this was from June 28th, so a very long time ago. But that was the last time that we read reviews. But he says, "I've been an avid listener. Well, 5 stars first off. But
Oh,
I've been an
thank
avid
you.
listener for almost a year now, and I can't begin to explain just how incredible and in-depth their breakdown is." For those of us who are passionate about Destiny, this podcast is equally as important to me as Destiny Item Manager. A top-tier podcast from the most casual player to the most hardcore, there's something for everyone. Thank you very much, Eboard. We really appreciate it. And remember, if you guys leave us a review on iTunes, we will absolutely read your review out on our podcast, and we'll provide a personal thank you, because we really, really super appreciate it that you guys do that. So just want to get that iTunes review out of the way. Hopefully we'll have some more reviews to read to you guys next week as well. We usually do them at the end of the podcast, but I figured we're doing a lot of housekeeping stuff
Yep.
early. Got to get that way. We haven't talked to you guys in 2 weeks, except for last week where we talked about Marvel, but that doesn't count. And so I actually think we also have some patrons to thank, or a new
We
patron. Is
do
that the
have
case?
a new patron. I think we're running with the moniker of Tiramisu. Spelled a little differently here, but I'm not going to spell it out. But yeah, so thank you, Tiramisu, for your new contribution. We really appreciate having you on board the patron train. You guys, those of you who donate via Patreon, you do so much for us. Take all of the financial burden of maintaining a podcast off. You give us opportunities to get this information out there and share it with other people who it benefits. You know, that's something we hear a lot from people, and that's something we actually heard a lot this weekend, which felt really good. Like other people are taking something away from this, they're learning something, they're being entertained, and that's really what doing this podcast is all about. I know, at least for me, like if I know I've made somebody laugh, I've made somebody chuckle, I've made somebody go, "Oh, I didn't know that." Like that makes my day when we get that kind of feedback. So, and you guys, the patrons, are super, super key to continuing to make that happen. So thank you so much.
100%. Really appreciate it, guys. And obviously, if you become a patron, you get access to the exclusive Patrons Lounge and the Destiny Massive Breakdown Discord, among many, many other things. Benefits, discounts for the Loot Cave. You get some playing cards sometimes. You get T-shirts. There's exclusive patron shirts that we only give out to the patrons once they've pledged for a certain amount of time. So there's a ton of really cool stuff out there. I highly recommend you look into it. if that's something that you would like to do. Because remember, you're not only supporting the podcast, you're also supporting the massive breakdown guides and the spreadsheet that's and everything right. else that we do as well. And you're also supporting my hot takes on Twitter. So maybe actually I should not have bundled that in. Maybe I should have kept that separate. But you are supporting everything that Massive Breakdowns does, not just the podcast. It's just the podcast is the only place we can advertise it because Reddit will not let us advertise there.
Yeah. Hot take. Reddit should get over itself. Anyway, moving on from that statement, since we're on the topic of patrons, I also want to go ahead and throw a quick thank you out to our sponsors, Goose and ZensoCal. These are guardians who have not only pledged or contributed to the podcast financially, they have gone far above and beyond what is even reasonable, to a level that we sort of like jokingly made available, but never really expected anyone to support us at. And it's mind-blowing that that anyone is willing to kind of step up and give us that kind of financial security as a podcast. But not just one, but two guardians have done that, and it's you know, with a with a lot of gratitude, honestly, that I just have to say thank you again this week, as we do every week. So appreciate you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is pretty much it for the clerical stuff that we like to get out of the way in the very, very beginning. What we want to talk about now is I finally did a massive breakdown of Arentol. So anyone who has followed the podcast for any period of time, like I said earlier, knows that I absolutely love Arentol, that it is 100% my favorite gun, that I do not believe it should be nerfed at all.
What's an Arentol? I've never heard of that. Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful high-impact fusion rifle that at the current point in time is becoming increasingly popular in the Crucible. It is not yet at the point where I would call it oppressive, at least not at standard levels of play. At higher levels of play, it may be considered oppressive. But it has, since Menagerie came out, become more popular as it was easy to get a great roll. And I held off for a very long time of doing a massive breakdown about it. I held off really talking about it outside of snide remarks on Twitter. And I really only discussed it in the confines of the podcast or the Discord because I really, really, really am cognizant of the fact that sometimes speaking about a gun that is strong can lead more people to use that gun, and then it's a snowball effect, and then it becomes very, very popular, and then it gets nerfed. And as any fan of fusion rifles knows, fusion rifles are perhaps Bungie's favorite target for unwarranted nerfs. So the last thing I want to do was make Arentol get nerfed by convincing more people to use it. But the fact of the matter is I think we have already hit the tipping point on it where this thing is going to be, you know, self-propelling from here on out. So I decided, you know what, I might as well get the karma while the karma getting's good and talk about Arentol. So I did a full breakdown of it. And now we're going to go into more detail on Arentol than we ever have before, if that is okay with you, Kutch.
Yeah, no, let's do it. I just to give people a little bit of perspective on where Arentol is at in the meta right now. If we take a look at percentage of all kills, top 10 weapons in competitive, and I'm just going to ignore quick play for the moment because it's pretty much the same. Arentol is currently sitting in 9th place. And it's pretty solidly in 9th place. It's just a little bit ahead of 10th place. It's maybe a 0.5%, I think, behind 8th place. And it is probably about half of some of the top weapons. The top weapons being The Last Word, Luna's Howl, Dustrock Blues, and Beloved. Those are basically like the top 4 weapons for percentage of all kills in competitive right now. So it's strong, right? It's making a top 10 showing. It's the only fusion rifle in the top 10. It's the only fusion rifle to crack that top 10, I think, outside of Telesto, that I can remember in Destiny 2. So, I mean, and of course that has everybody who loves to hand cannon shotgun pretty frustrated. Especially if they're unwilling to change their playstyle. Now, we can maybe... I think this is... I'm just going to throw this out there. Hit us up if you think this is a good idea, or tell me if it's not. I feel like we might need to have a strategy talk episode at some point in the near future to talk about how to play against fusion rifles and also how to play with them. because I feel like people are getting, I don't hear this so much from our own community, but I feel like there are some people out in the wider community who are seeing maybe certain individuals putting up some nasty fusion rifle streaks and going, this gun is broken. And really, it's just like, no, that player is broken. That player is overpowered.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some nuance there. And I feel like that might be something worth discussing in the near future. So I'm going to throw it out.
It very well may be worth it. The honest truth is we're probably going to talk a lot about how to play fusions today because the perk choices that you want to go for are very dependent on the type of play style that you play as a fusion rifle user. That being said, we can definitely do an episode talking about how to counter fusions, because as an avid fusion listener, I do run into people who hard counter me. And I know very, very well what infuriates me while I'm using Arintel. So that being said, I would love to talk about that. But in the meantime, Arintel itself, you said it's the only fusion rifle to crack the top 10 besides Telesto. It would not surprise me if it was the only fusion rifle besides Celesto to crack the top 20. Fusion rifles as a whole are just not super popular. The main reason that Arintel is popular, and people, you know, conflate this weirdly, it's because of the ability to map people. That's really, really what it is. It has reach out and touchy range. 30 meters is solid range for the Arintel. On injured targets or with very skilled players, 40 meters is not unheard of. At very, 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 very extremely rare niche circumstances, you can reach out past 50. There is no other instant kill weapon that can do that, with the exception of sniper rifles. And sniper rifles, of course, require precision hit. Now, the trade-off to fusions is obviously there's charge time, right? Yep. And Arintel does not have a fast charge time. You know, 867 milliseconds is the approximate charge time of it. With liquid coils, that goes up to 900 milliseconds. With accelerated coils, it comes down to 833. It's slow. It's flat out slow. It's slower than Telesto was. It's slower than Main Ingredient is. The only thing slower than it is Merciless. And that takes a little bit of getting used to. I think the Arintel is one of the highest skill ceiling weapons in the game, but I very much believe that it takes some practice to understand. And I think anybody who thinks they can just equip Arintel, anybody who is not a very good player, who thinks they can just equip Arintel and dominate with it, is going to be in for a rude awakening when they try to do that. I had some guy on Twitter the other day tell me, "That's bullshit. I put on Arintel and got a 50 kill game. Dude had like a 3.6 KD. It was like, no shit, man. Like, you're going to get a 50 kill game no matter what you're using.
Yeah.
But what bothers me about this stuff is they make it seem like anybody can throw on Arintel and just dominate. And that's not the case. And it's an insult to people who've actually worked really hard to become extremely good with Arintel. I've put 10,000 kills on the three Arintels that I've got on my three characters. I love Arintel so much that I don't transfer one Arintel. I have one Arintel for each character. And I've got 10,000 kills between the three of those. So I'm a fan of this gun. And the breakdown that we're going to talk about today, it comes from that love.
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of get that out of the way, just to, you know, make it clear, I think, that you know what you're about when it comes to this gun. There's some controversy with Arintel as a weapon. I know for a long time the archetype was very unpopular because it was slow and because precision fusion rifles are much easier to use, because the recoil pattern is just, you know, it's straight up and down. Anybody can aim for the knees and hit the head as long as they've got a target that's not zigzagging. So I think it's taken a while for people to realize that there is a lot more to be gained by going to a high impact fusion rifle. Certainly, I've been slow to do it because I don't use fusion rifles that often. I've always been a hand cannon shotgun guy. That's just always been my thing. So it's been a slow transition, but I am getting close to the point where I need to start farming Arintels to get a good roll, because I never have. That's the other thing too. I've never gotten a really good roll. So It's kind of.
And unfortunately, it's now harder to get a good role because they fixed the menagerie chest glitch. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I never did. I never pulled one out of the menagerie, actually. So I guess the gunsmith will be eating a lot of weapon parts.
Good luck with that. That will take a very long time. I even with the menagerie being being nerfed, the menagerie is still a much better farm than the gunsmith is. So highly recommend if you want an Arentol, go to the menagerie. It will treat you much better than the gunsmith. But the Arentol, what makes it so special is the ability to kill in four bolts. It's the only fusion rifle that can do that outside of I think maybe Telesto in niche circumstances. Sorry, I should say it's the only impact archetype that can do that. Obviously, Wizened Rebuke can do it. Loaded Question can do it. But, you know, Arentol is the only one of those that is easily farmable or has random rolls. And also the only one of those that can come with a high zoom scope. And that's a big deal, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's get the stats out of the way. High impact, high range, high aim assist. Obviously a slow charge rate, doesn't have great stability or handling by default. It's got a low reload speed. It does 48 damage per bolt if you put accelerated coils on it, or a charge masterwork that goes down to 47 and then to 46 at its default, right? The impact is 95. If you put liquid coils on it, it goes up to 49, which is better but not great. If you put high impact reserves on it, the second to last bolt will do 50. The last bolt will do 51. So that's, you know, that's basically guaranteeing you the four bolt kill right there.
And just a quick note on that point. Remember, when you spawn in to the Crucible with a fusion rifle, you have two shots. So high impact reserves is automatically active every time you spawn in the Crucible. As long as you're not stacking up rounds too high, you can guarantee a four bolt kill with Arentol if you have high impact reserves. I think that's important if you don't know that.
Yes, very important. Like I said, stability is not great at 29. Reload speed is not great at 28. Handling is not great at 26. Those are all pretty similar. The aim assist is 65, which for a fusion rifle is pretty great. Recoil direction is 60. So it's not a tremendously good recoil direction. You're going to see a lot of people stick a counterbalance mod on this. A lot of people stick a counterbalance mod on it. I personally don't run a counterbalance mod. I personally run targeting adjuster. Again, I am on console. I am on Xbox. Reason being is that I have max stability through the perks and through the masterwork that I have on mine. And so I don't necessarily feel the need to. But the main reason I don't is because of the long zoom scope. And since we're moving into perks right now, the reason why a long zoom scope is so impressive and so necessary, people think it's because of the range. It's not actually because of the range. Although it is very, very, very beneficial for a damage fall off and aim assist fall off, it's actually because of the stability. It's actually because of the bolt spread. Some people don't know, but in D1, all fusion rifle zoom levels were locked at 1.5 times. It did not matter which scope you had, the zoom was always 1.5 times. That was because Bungie had let us know very early on that the higher the zoom in the game, they actually physically decrease the recoil to go along with it. And the reason that they do that is because when you increase the zoom, what actually happens is it's just decreasing your field of view a corresponding amount. And when you decrease the field of view, if the gun were to recoil the same amount that it normally does at a wider field of view, it would jump so high that you would basically, like, the gun would be uncontrollable. And so to counteract that, they basically keep the physical jump of the gun in proportion with the field of view. And so as you zoom in, the gun looks like it jumps the same amount because you're zoomed in, but it's actually jumping much, much less. And so the recoil is actually much less on a high zoom scope. And because people found that out, they realized that high zoom scopes would make fusion rifles have insanely tight burst spreads. So they nerfed fusion rifle zooms. They said, nope, you can't have anything more than a 1.5. But that all changed in year two of Destiny 2.
Yeah, and that's just to kind of clarify real quick, to give you some quick math, if you're not familiar with this concept. So zoom does two things on a weapon, right? And zoom is basically a multiplier. So say you've got a zoom factor of 1.5. The two things that it does is it increases your effective range in the game in meters, so not strictly speaking your range stat, but the actual distance before damage falloff starts, by the zoom factor, 1.5, for example. So if you had an effective range of 20 meters, you zoom in, you now have an effective range of 30 meters. Simple. The other thing that was not obvious for a long time, and that actually, I know I did a bunch of testing on this because a lot of people didn't believe me about fusion rifles and rangefinder in particular. And I think Bungie eventually did confirm the way it worked. But what it does with recoil is, like you said, it decreases it proportional to the zoom. So if the gun jumps, say that your view jumps, you know, effectively like, I don't know, how do I put this? If your view jumps, say, 2 inches, and you've got a 1.5 zoom scope, it's then going to jump. Oh boy, math.
You used hard math.
I did use hard math.
Should have used easier numbers. Round numbers. No, it's like if you're
then it would jump one and a third inches instead of two.
If your gun jumps two inches. If your gun jumps 2 inches, and then you go to a 2x scope, it will only jump 1 inch.
Right. So that would have been a better.
It basically comes down proportionally. And the easier way to describe it is like in a pixel length, right? Like if your vertical jump is 30 pixels normally, when you're at 1x zoom, when you go to 2x zoom, it's then 15 pixels. Yep. It basically cuts in half. But to you, the player, it looks like the recoil is the same.
Right.
Because you've zoomed in twice as much. But as far as the game is concerned, like on the wall you're shooting at or the target you're shooting at, you went from jumping from the middle of his chest to over his head to the middle of his chest to his head.
Right.
So it's actually extremely useful. And people first noticed this on like Doctrine of Passing and stuff in D1 when they were like, holy shit, it's way easier to control recoil with a long zoom scope on these auto rifles than it is with short zoom scopes.
Yeah.
And it's because it actually was. And Bungie confirmed it on a Crucible Radio podcast. They actually said, yeah, that's how we treat zoom. The reason being is because otherwise nobody would ever be able to use a long zoom scope because the jump would be so high that you would lose your target immediately.
Yeah. So that's one place that Destiny notably departs from reality, much to the betterment of the game.
Well, yeah, it's because in reality, anything with a high zoom scope is not a rapid fire weapon.
Yeah.
they're single shot weapons. You know, people are sticking ACOGs on auto rifles, but nobody's putting a 6x scope on an auto rifle, right? So like, you know, and if they are, they're firing in semi-auto mode. So as far as sights go, there are actually three high zoom scopes. There's Signal MS5, Impulse MS3, Transmission MS7. Signal MS5 and Impulse MS3 are the best by far. The reason being is Transmission actually offers the exact same zoom, which is plus 5 on the zoom stat, which is equal to an additional 0.5 on the zoom. So they're 1.5 by default. When you put either Signal or Transmission on there, it goes up to 2x, right? But it has a worse, Signal has a worse handling, sorry, Transmission has a worse handling penalty than Signal. So if you have to compare the two of them, Signal is just straight up better than Transmission. Same range boost, same zoom, but Transmission just hurts penalty more. Impulse has the higher zoom. It's plus 6, aka an additional 0.6, so it takes you up to 2.1, but it has a much worse handling penalty. So you kind of have to, you know, choose your battles there. Do you want that additional zoom, which is worth it, because you got to think that extra 0.1, that basically is rangefinder right there.
Yeah.
That extra 0.1 zoom. So the difference between Impulse and Signal is the difference between having rangefinder and not having rangefinder, which is a pretty big difference. So, you know, be careful saying no to that, but either one of those two would be my best. Then you've got Flash, you've got Torch. Flash has one more zoom than Torch, but it has three less range. But because we talked about range being multiplicative, it's a multiplier, it's not a linear addition. So that one more zoom is more than equal to the three more range that Torch has. But that being said, Torch gives a handling boost as opposed to a handling penalty. So some people still prefer Torch.
Yeah, I think it kind of could go either way. And this comes to where you talk about your playstyle and your other perk choices may influence what you prefer here. Because there's a certain perk that involves swapping to this gun, And if you're going to be using that, you might actually not want to tank your handling stat too badly.
For the magazine, I think Particle Repeater and Projection Fuse are the top two by a pretty decent amount. Particle Repeater increases the stability by 10. Projection Fuse increases the range by 10. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of personal preference on these. That's why I listed them both as the top choice, because I personally prefer Particle Repeater for the increased stability. But there are some people out there who don't really need increased stability because, number one, they could be on PC. Number two, they could have a couple of other perks which benefit stability, like firmly planted and tap the trigger combined. Number three, they could be extremely good at manually controlling the bolt spread, in which case stability is basically a wasted perk for them. So what I generally tell people to do is start off with as little stability as you can, and then add in more stability until you find a point where you can control the bolt spread on your own. Because if you can control the bolt spread on your own, you have 100 stability, that doesn't help you at all. You would need range at that point in time. So usually the more novice you are with a fusion rifle, or the lazier you are, so to speak, because like me, I'm a lazy player. I don't want to have to control the bolt. I don't want to have to work really, really hard to control the bolt spread. And I'm okay sacrificing a little bit of range for it, so I still give stability. But the better of a player you are, you can kind of start to drop some of that stability out and add range instead. And then there's also enhanced battery, which just gives you two more in the mag. That's a super great perk if you're running anything that involves you needing to have a low percentage of the mag to activate it, like under pressure, high impact reserves. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, fantastic. I don't have anything to add there.
So there's obviously two trade slots. The first trade slot is where the fun really begins. There are actually three what I consider top tier options. And it's going to depend on your playstyle which one of those top tier options you want. Now, firmly planted is probably the best option overall. It massively increases accuracy and stability when you're crouched. And on a fusion rifle, that means if you are sliding, you get a huge, huge boost in lethal kill distance and ease of use for the gun. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to slide and fusion at the same time. It's a talent that you have to develop. You have to have a certain control scheme where you don't have to take your thumbstick off the or your thumb off the stick to slide, because not all control schemes allow you to do that. So firmly planted, although I believe it's probably the best perk, I actually find not a ton of people can utilize it well, and it ends up kind of, instead of sliding, people like crouch before they shoot. You know, they kind of strafe a little bit and then they crouch down before they shoot. And I just don't feel like it's okay, but it's not super effective. It kind of makes you a sitting target for a little bit. So I really do recommend this for good players who are confident in their movement abilities. Second up is under pressure. And it's basically, if you have less than half of the magazine, you get increases to accuracy and stability. But what this means is that you have to be really good at ammo management. You pretty much have to be comfortable keeping no more than 2 to 3 shots in your magazine at all times, which is great in PvP because you spawn in with 2 shots, so under pressure is already active. The problem is that if you get good and you start racking up kill sprees, you're going to very quickly accumulate a bunch of ammo, and you have to, you know, physically tell yourself, don't reload, don't reload, don't reload.
Yeah, that's part of the mental game, I think, remembering to optimally use your perks. For my money, if you are wanting to kind of get in on the fusion rifle craze, that's a fantastic perk to have, because it's going to set you up to have a much easier time every time you spawn in. You know, if you're new to fusion rifles or you're new to air intel, for me, that's better than firmly planted, because it's just always on. And then, you know, if you get a firmly planted one and you build some confidence and some skill, you can always switch to that down the road.
Yeah, it's the difference between an active and a passive perk, right? Like, firmly planted is an active perk. You have to activate the perk. Under pressure is supposed to be a passive perk, but if you play things right, you can make it into an active perk.
Yeah.
You can choose when to activate it. Then the next one, number three, that I think is the third tier one option, is moving target. It's a passive perk, right? You don't really have to do anything. You just play like normal and the perk activates and helps you out. And basically moving target, as soon as you go ADS, you get increased target acquisition, which is aim assist. And you also get faster strafe speed, which is actually quite nice. I will say that PC players scoff at moving target, PC guys, bullet magnetism is still active for y'all. Just because you don't have the reticle stickiness part or the reticle slowdown part of aim assist like console players have, bullet magnetism is still a thing on PC. All right? So, you know, don't scoff at moving target because it can still help you out a little bit. So I usually recommend moving target to anyone who's not super great at fusions because they don't have to think about it. Sure. They just use the gun and it helps them. And, you know, it actually offers a relatively decently sized reward for how easy it is to use, which is extremely easy to use.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice that it's just always on and there's literally no thought. And I can see why you'd recommend that. Obviously, I feel pretty strongly about under pressure on fusion rifles. I think it's just A+ top tier.
Yeah.
You know. But all three of those perks really strong.
Yeah, as do I. I actually think under pressure is my preferred as well for my personal playstyle. In that trade slot, you also have hip fire grip, you have auto loading holster, snapshot sights. I actually think auto loading holster is a little bit underrated. It's not a game changer, but it's a really nice luxury to have, and you will absolutely notice it when you don't have it if you run a gun that has it on.
Yeah.
The ability to swap weapons and engage and then swap back and have your magazine be filled up is phenomenal. It does not pair super well with high impact reserves because it autofills your gun every 4 seconds and you have to really keep your gun equipped all the time to prevent it from doing that. So I have a role like that. It's actually a role that I have, I think, 2,000 kills on, but it requires a lot more mental effort than I would kind of really like on that end. But yeah, that being said, we can move on to the next. So the next slot, trait slot 2, has, you know, 1, 2, maybe possibly you could argue 3 and 4 perks that kind of stand out above the rest. Backup plan. Obviously, we all know what backup plan does on fusion rifles. It makes it into a mini plan C. Basically, immediately after swapping to your weapon, you have incredibly fast charge time. For high skill players who are using Arintel as a secondary, who are not trying to main the Arintel, meaning you're getting a majority of your kills with a primary weapon, this is probably the tier 1 perk. This and firmly planted. The ability to swap and just instantly vaporize someone cannot be overstated. That being said, it takes skill to use, it takes timing, it takes understanding, it takes positioning, it takes awareness of how to pre-charge. There's a lot of things that go into using backup plan well, and just like firmly planted, I don't know if there's a ton of players out there who aren't already really good who can utilize it. I personally don't even like it because to me it throws off. I do main Arintel. When I'm running Arintel, Arintel is my primary weapon. I'm running fusion rifle scavengers and I'm trying to pick up as much ammo as I can, and I'm trying to use Arintel like a primary. And backup plan throws me off. When I do switch to my ranged primary, and then I swap back, and I'm preparing for a charge, and I'm holding down the trigger, and then I just fire my shot off, right? Like, you have to be in the right mind state to use backup plan. So I don't recommend it for everyone, but for those who are good enough, I highly recommend it. I think it's one of the best perks in the game.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. You know, I remember the D1 days. I loved Plan C. Plan C was super fun to punish shotgun rushers back in the day. This really does bring it back, right? Backup plan is it's a very useful perk for specific situations. But I think, like you said, I think you have to be confident in your primary game in order to take advantage of it. You have to be not just confident, but you have to actually have a primary game, and like that has to be your main thing if you're going to get any benefit out of this. If you're constantly, if you're trying to use it constantly, it's not going to work out for you. You can't just, you know, swap endlessly and have it work. It does have, I think it has a 3-second cooldown, so if you swap, you just ruined it. Because by the time you swap back, it's gone, and it's not going to come back until you swap and wait. So, you have to be smart with using backup plan. It literally, I mean, it's in the name, right? It's on the tin. It's a backup plan. It's there to get you out of a tough spot. You know, you go, yep. you end up in an unfortunate 2v1. You win your 1v1 fight. He's got a buddy coming in. Swap to backup plan. take him out before he can take you out.
Second up is tap the trigger. Now, I got a fair amount of flack on this for people saying that Rangefinder was preferable to tap the trigger. Here's what I'm going to say. They do different things. As we know, Rangefinder increases the effective zoom by 0.1. So what it's doing is it is decreasing the error angle, meaning how far away from center the bolts can deflect. And because of that zoom, it is effectively increasing the stability. That is what Rangefinder does. Rangefinder is very good at it. It will help to tighten up the bolt spread, and it will help to push out your damage fall off, and it will help to push out your aim assist fall off. Rangefinder is very, very good for that. I consider Rangefinder a top tier perk. The reason why I have Tap the Trigger listed a little bit higher than it is because Tap the Trigger greatly increases accuracy on the initial trigger pull, which for fusion rifles, unless you're rapidly engaging two people right after the other, is basically every trigger pull for a fusion rifle. Tap the Trigger, when I say it increases accuracy, it doesn't just increase the error angle or decrease the error angle, I should say. It actually increases the projectile accuracy as well. So it functions a little bit like opening shot. It basically is. I mean, that's what it is. It's opening shot for a, for a non-semi-auto.
For a rapid fire weapon.
Yeah, it's basically opening shot for a weapon that fires. You know, it's tap the triggers on auto rifles and SMGs and fusion rifles and opening shots on hand cans and scout rifles and sniper rifles. It's basically that exact same thing. Although there's also a fusion rifle with opening shot, which God knows I wish I could get one, but RNGs has not been kind to me. So, you know, what it does when I say increases projectile accuracy is we've talked about projectile accuracy before, but, you know, when aim assist is active, it's basically the likelihood, the probability that the weapon is going to receive like the maximum aim assist effect. And so it makes it feel stickier on console, but more importantly, it makes it seem like it's almost a magnet to the target. So yes, Rangefinder increases your effective range. It increases your stability. But a miss with Rangefinder is still a miss with Rangefinder. And with Tap the Trigger, that's not always the case. And I'm not going to tell you that you could just be shooting to either side of your target and still getting kills. But I do feel like when I use Tap the Trigger, I have a little bit more forgiveness on my targets when Tap the Trigger is active. I feel just a little bit more lethal inside of those closer ranges of slightly less accurate shots. So that's why I say tap the trigger is a little bit better. If you're a dominant player range and you're really trying to reach out and grab someone from 40 meters away, I think Rangefinder is probably the option for you. But you know, almost anywhere else, I think Tap the Trigger is comparable, if not superior. And so that's why I have it listed a little bit higher.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think it's important to just say they're two different perks. They achieve two different goals. They're both strong options, and I wouldn't turn my nose up at either one. You know, but obviously, like you said, Rangefinder is giving you additional range. It's also tightening the recoil. Tap the Trigger, I believe, also increases stability. But
yes,
it, so it's giving you kind of the same, it may not be as much of a recoil reduction as Rangefinder, but it's giving you that accuracy. And like you said, this is something people are going to be a lot more familiar, I think, with opening shot, maybe from hand cannons and sniper rifles, super strong perk on a single shot weapon. And so Tap the Trigger is really, it's giving you that same aim assist benefit here. It's making your shot less likely to miss.
It's very noticeable.
Even if it actually like would have missed had if there was no aim assist, then it would have missed anyway. Sometimes it won't. So that's kind of the benefit of aim assist. That's a little bit of Bungie playing the game for us to hide from us how bad we are at aiming.
Which is one of Bungie's things that they're best at. That's why all their guns feel so incredibly good, is because they figured out the secret sauce that is aim assist, basically, and all their guns feel phenomenal for it. It's just, I've complained about aim assist before, and I've complained about how I think there is too much aim assist in the game. And I 100% believe that to be the case. But at this point in time, if it's in the game, you might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like I run opening shot on all my sniper rifles because opening shot makes me helps me, I shouldn't say makes me, helps me to hit shots that I believe would otherwise have been misses. And tap the trigger is something similar.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't think you need it, if you think you're accurate enough that it's not going to help you, then I 100% agree you should go with something else. And if rangefinder is what you choose to go with, that's definitely going to help. But the way I look at it is like this, like if I have the option of a 2.1 times magnification fusion rifle with tap the trigger or a 2.2 times magnification fusion rifle, because that's what you basically get, the same fusion rifle but with rangefinder.
Right.
I'm probably going to take that 2.1 times of tap the trigger, because tap the trigger is going to help me all the way up to that max range. And then that max range is where rangefinder helps, right? So I'm looking at like 30, you know, something meters, a little bit over 30 meters of useful area for tap the trigger. And then like maybe 5 to 7 to maybe 10 meters of useful area for rangefinder, right? So where are the majority of your engagements? If the majority of your engagements are between 30 and 40 meters, then yeah, rangefinder may be what you need. If the majority of your engagements are between, you know, 5 and 30 meters though, I think tap the trigger might be more up your alley. So, you know, that is what it is, but it doesn't matter because one way or another, because I run high impact reserves. I don't run tap the trigger anyways. I don't run rangefinder. I don't run either of those. Reason why, it's my personal favorite. Number one, it pairs incredibly well with under pressure. They both activate at the same time and they both get stronger as they go. It boosts damage, like I said, on the second to last shot, which is the one you start with in PvP, 50 damage. On the last shot, 51 damage on Aaron's hole. That means you can completely nullify the first couple meters of damage drop off. And it means you can basically guarantee 4-bolt kills against any resiliency level up until that. And that's more than enough for me. It's basically giving me more benefit than liquid coils does. And I don't have an increase in charge time. And it's active every single time I spawn in PvP.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, there's really, for all that we spend all that time talking about aim assist and zoom and range, damage ultimately is what decides weapon choices, above and beyond any of those in Destiny. It's, can I put out enough damage fast enough? And so sometimes you might pick a mid damage weapon if it puts out damage faster. In this case, fusion rifles, they're all really, once the charge time is set aside, they're all putting out, you know, all of their shots at the same rate. And so it's just, how much damage can I get per bolt so that even if some of those bolts miss, as they do, I can guarantee the kill. And 4 bolts out of the 7 to kill is phenomenal. It really is that much better than 5. I mean, every 1 bolt that you don't need, that you can ignore, is, like, with a fusion rifle, that's huge. You know, that's a huge percentage of shots that you can miss and still get an instant kill.
And then the last option would be kill clip or rampage. Either one of those. Kill clip has the effect of making the gun take only 3 bolts to kill, which is pretty amazing. Talk about mapping people. You can really map someone with kill clip. The problem is that kill clip is so incredibly difficult to proc in PvP with a special weapon. You basically have to kill someone and have ammo in reserve, not already in your gun, and reload and find someone else to kill. And it's just really difficult to chain. So rampage is the other option. Rampage is much, much easier to proc. But really all it does is it just kind of verifies the 4-bolt is going to happen. It's not a big enough damage boost to where it's going to make like a huge difference for you one way or another. It will push out damage drop off and it will make it easier to hit a 4-bolt, but you're already hitting a 4-bolt. So it's like, that's why I don't really find those two to be super useful. And I've had rolls with both. And I honestly just found that I would much rather have an easier time getting the first kill than I would, you know, go all in on trying to chain kills, which in PvP is not the most common thing you're going to run into.
Right. I think that's important to say, because rampage, it gives a respectable damage boost, and it certainly is something that you can chain, right? But for the average player trying to get into Aerith, I think the important thing to focus on is winning your first engagement. Because if you win the first one, your chances of winning the second one go up. And so on and so forth. You know, every kill you can string together is important, but don't count your kills before they vaporize, right? Don't Don't get ahead of yourself here. Focus on winning that first engagement after you spawn in. And for me, that's why High Impact Reserves is kind of a no-brainer on this gun. Like it's really hard for me to want anything other than High Impact Reserves. Because I just want to win the first gunfight that I get into. And that's a free win.
Yeah, you've got some you've got some kind of interesting little combos you can run here if we're talking about the last two perks. So obviously Under Pressure High Impact Reserves has like great synergy. Moving Target Rangefinder has fantastic synergy.
Yep.
Right? Because you're trying to get perks that activate on the same trigger. Right? So Moving Target Rangefinder, they both activate on you going ADS. High Impact Reserves, Under Pressure, they both activate on you having 3 or 2 shots in the mag. You can also try to go with like firmly planted and tap the trigger, not because they both trigger at the same time, but because they both massively boost stability, and you can basically like eliminate recoil and make the bolt spread super, super easy to deal with. If you want to make things harder on yourself, you can go with firmly planted and backup plan because they're both the two hardest perks to activate, you know, successfully. And those two combined would probably make the gun insanely strong, but you know, it's going to be, dude, Arintel, I know people hate it, but honestly, in my mind, the way Arintel is laid out, I agree. The rest of the sandbox is still kind of weak. Shotguns have been nerfed a lot. Snipers still feel a little bit wonky for the most part, with the exception of like Beloved and Supremacy and Twilight Oath. But I just love the Arintel. I think it's positioned itself in a great way. I think the perk synergy is phenomenal. Honestly, I think it's in a perfect place. I just wish they would buff primaries, but you know, that's a talk for another day. But I'm super happy with it. Like I said, I'm going to use it until they drive it right into the ground. I almost hope you guys won't join me, because then it's going to be more likely that they drive it right into the ground. But you know, I've resigned myself to that fact. So in the meantime, I hope you guys do join me.
Yeah, you know, I think what we have to hope here, and maybe something to remember, if you listening to this, if you're still listening and you still feel that Arintel needs to be nerfed, I think really the thing to hope for is that Bungie just continues to put out other good weapons, that they put out more good snipers, that they maybe give us some new good shotguns so that we can stop using Deathstroke Blues. Although I love my Deathstroke Blues, but I mean, I could use a different gun. I wouldn't argue with a new shotgun that maybe takes its place. So, you know, that they maybe give us some a sidearm that fills that close range slot. You know, I what I'd really like to see is not a nerf for Arintel, but more competition for those top 10 spots.
Especially from primaries. That's what it needs to be. Primaries need to be brought up. Shotguns, you know, even with the nerfs, are still okay, but that's a conversation for another day. And honestly, yeah, Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna say we call this the Arintel episode. We don't even talk about bad juju until next week when we've had more time to play, because we're closing in on an hour here. It's already 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to get the Tiltify thing up, you know.
Yeah.
I got to edit this thing. We got a lot left to do.
We do.
And not a lot of time left to do it. So I'm going to say we just call this one done, and we say our goodbyes.
I think that's fair. Here's the preview. Next time on Massive Breakdowns, bad juju. It's worth getting.
And also Lumina.
And also Lumina.
If I have time to get through that.
So All right. Look forward to that next week. And I guess we've already done all the housekeeping. There's nothing left to say.
Yeah. Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice? We should maybe consider doing the housekeeping at the beginning from now on. I kind of like the fact that we can just end it.
Yeah. But now it's dragging out.
Yeah. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.